Avi Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Siefker, joined by my co-host and companion for life, Rhonda Branham. And on today's program, we're going to be speaking with Allison Senafonte, Director of Strategic Communications at Live Action, a nonprofit organization founded by Lila Rose in 2003. Live Action is a leader in the pro-life movement and is best known for its undercover video sting operations on Planned Parenthood facilities. We'll be talking with Allison about the sting operation at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood back in 2008, as well as the current situation in Indiana involving unreported sexual abuse of minors. We'll get to all of that in a few moments, but right now, Rhonda's going to start us off in prayer.
Jesus, Prince of all heavenly truths, your words are carved for eternity. You have commanded the virtue of honesty. It is the power against all deceptions. Direct your Holy Spirit of honesty upon our nation and the whole world. Guide all of our daily thoughts, words, and actions to join those living by the Spirit of truth. For honesty yields harmony and loyalty, enriching all human relationships. By the power of your Spirit, may honesty and truth flourish and prevail throughout the church and the whole world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And let's go now to this week's in the news.
The movie Unplanned, the biopic that chronicles the conversion story of former Planned Parenthood director Abby Johnson into the pro-life movement, took in over $6 million last weekend as it hit theaters across the country. The movie opened in only 1,060 theaters nationwide, but was able to take fourth place at the box office and almost tripled industry predictions for how much revenue it would generate. The film's initial success means that it will be adding another 600 screens for its second week run. Due to the large viewing audiences, the AMC Classic Theater No. 12 here in Bloomington has extended its showing of Unplanned until at least next Wednesday. You can go to unplannedfilm.com to find out the times of these showings. And whether you've already seen the film or not, plan this week to see Unplanned. Two pro-life bills here in Indiana are headed to Governor Eric Holcomb's desk for his signature. Senate Bill 201 expands Indiana law to extend conscience protections to additional medical providers, including nurses, physician assistants, and pharmacists. Under current law, physicians and hospital employees are protected from participating in abortions for ethical, moral, or religious reasons. Because chemical abortions are on the rise in the state, the bill was crafted to extend this same protection to other healthcare providers who might otherwise be forced to be involved with a chemical abortion. And House Bill 1211 that bans dismemberment abortions also heads to the governor. The bill recognizes the science that shows that unborn babies feel pain as they are pulled apart in the womb during this procedure. Pro-life groups are urging Governor Holcomb to sign both SB 201 and HB 1211 into Indiana law. And heading into the final full week of 40 Days for Life, at least 328 moms and babies have been spared from the violence of abortion since Ash Wednesday. The International Prayer and Fasting Campaign ends on Palm Sunday, April 14th. Lots of help is needed to cover the Bloomington Planned Parenthood in prayer for at least 12 hours every day until then. You can go to 40daysforlife.com/Bloomington to register and sign up for some hours to come and pray at 421 South College Avenue. And finally, around 21 unborn children were intentionally killed at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood this past Thursday. Bloomington continues to see several women drive all the way from Tennessee to have the lives of their unborn children ended. And that's your weekly in the news. Rhonda, we're very blessed to have many heroes in the pro-life movement working to uncover many of the dark secrets of abortion, and in particular, the deep-held secrets of Planned Parenthood. Live Action is one such hero that labors to reveal the truth about abortion and the violence against mothers and their unborn children. Let's take a listen to this short clip from Lila Rose, founder of Live Action.
Live Action is a creative and talented team of young people who have dedicated themselves to standing up to what we believe is the greatest human rights abuse of our day, abortion. Live Action investigates behind the closed doors of the abortion industry and lobby, going to expose the abuses, the illicit activity, and threats to human life, particularly in the biggest abortion chain in our country, Planned Parenthood.
In the past week, anti-abortion group Live Action has released undercover videos showing Planned Parenthood staffers all too eager to help purported teenage sex workers get abortions and contraception.
There's a thing too. If they're minors, it's time to put down that they're students.
In the wake of Live Action's videos, we've seen amazing results. We've seen $61 million defunded from Planned Parenthood. We've seen the first congressional investigation in history opened up into the abortion giant. Live Action has the biggest social media presence for the pro-life movement. We reach thousands on high school and college campuses with our magazine, The Advocate, and thousands more online through Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and our website. I believe with my whole heart that with the right messaging, the right visual media, and with the right tools, we can convert a generation for life.
Back with Lila Rose. She is the president of Live Action.
You know, Live Action, when they put out the video,
your group, Live Action, is behind every single one of those.
This is another video in a long list of videos that have come out over the last 4 years, giving Planned Parenthood another black eye. Indiana, Arizona, Alabama. This is just the latest video.
What we've documented, Laura, is across the board, and we've been documenting this for years now.
And that's why our legislation would deny any and all federal funding to Planned Parenthood of America. These tapes just make a more eloquent argument for that.
We ask that you partner with us, pray for us, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, frequent the blog, sign up to get our emails, pass on the videos, support us if you can financially. Even $15, $25 a month helps us so much. And most of all, make sure that you're equipped with the truth so that you can share it and pass it on with your friends, your family, and to your community. Together, we can create a country that is free from abortion and that protects and values every human life.
Monica, Live Action visited the Bloomington Planned Parenthood in 2008 and has been working to uncover the violence against women, especially minors, as many cases become unreported by abortionists and facilities that carry out abortions. To tell us more about this and their work in the abortion industry is Allison Senafonte, Director of Strategic Communications at Live Action. Hi, Allison.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Well, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max.
Well, Allison, we're so happy to have you join us today. So let's start with this. Can you begin, just give us a history of Live Action and what its mission is in the pro-life movement?
Absolutely. I'd be happy to. So Live Action was started by Lila Rose, our founder and president, when she discovered what the true reality of abortion was. And she was moved, even at a young age, to gather friends together to give amazing pro-life presentations across the country. And when she got to college, that grew into an interest in seeing how people would treat pregnant women on college campuses. And so Lila went in to her university at UCLA and said, I think I might be pregnant. And they advised her for an abortion. She said, well, surely this cannot be in every health center. Wow. And so she started going in and recording these conversations to prove that there was this massive deception of this being the only option for pregnant women. And when she started going into Planned Parenthood facilities and showing the injustices that are happening there, the lies that they were telling about prenatal development, the way that they would deceive women, pressure women into choosing abortion, covering up sexual abuse, failing to report and follow certain laws in order to procure that abortion, that started this national conversation about defunding Planned Parenthood of taxpayer dollars because they are such a big entity in the abortion movement, but they are not alone. So our goal is to end abortion and restore humanity's, acknowledge the humanity of every preborn child and restore society to see that too. So we have grown by God's blessing to one of the largest pro-life movements. We have over 3 million followers that we reach daily through Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, on our website, YouTube, and it's growing, not just here, guys, but globally. I'm, like, getting amazing requests to translate our work into different languages as countries across the world fight for the life of preborn children and their mothers.
Yeah, that's awesome. So about how many people would you say are involved in Live Action then? How many workers, volunteers do you guys have?
So we have staff all over the country. We're a tight, lean team, probably between 15 and 20 at different times. But we work hard. We hustle with that. And we reach our followers through those networks that I mentioned before, and we're growing. I just launched our leadership program called the Ambassadors Program. And on day one, I got 1,200 applications.
Wow.
So there is a need for education and there is a need for activation. So that's what we're working on.
So Allison, can you tell us about how Live Action begins an investigation and how do you decide what is going to be investigated and how many sites are going to be involved?
Absolutely. So let's go back on why we investigate.
Okay.
We do investigations into the abortion industry because the American people have a right to know when there are injustices happening, when there are abuses and criminal activities happening, period. Particularly within industries that we are financially supporting with our tax dollars. The abortion industry touts themselves as being for women, but time and time again, our investigations have shown that they prioritize profit. They are willing to avoid reporting issues of sex trafficking, sex abuse. They're willing to take donations based off of the race of a child even, because there is money to be made. We often have to educate on the fact that some people think Planned Parenthood and others are offering abortions for free. They are not. These abortions can range between $300 and $20,000 for a late-term abortion. So there is money to be made here. That is how the abortion industry makes their profit. So while they'd love to paint what they do as normal, it's not. These women walking in, there was an amazing quote that says, when a woman walks into an abortion clinic feeling more alone than ever and leaves feeling even more alone without her child after that abortion. So we consistently investigate numerous places to show that the abuses are a pattern. And you can see that online on liveaction.org or on YouTube. I'd encourage everyone to check out what we have found and continue to find inside America's largest abortion facility, is seeing thousands of women every year.
So what kind of impact do you think these investigations have on abortion?
Absolutely. Well, investigations are huge because it shows that there is deception happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we've heard stories of women that have watched our videos and shown it to their children and been like, look, if you don't ever go to one of these places, if you ever find yourself in, you know, an unplanned pregnancy, if you don't want to talk to me as your mom, go to someone that you trust. Don't go here because they're going to pressure you. We know that the data shows that a majority of women that choose abortion felt pressured to do so. They felt as though they were alone. And unfortunately, that continues within the abortion clinics. It also affects abortion because we take these videos and we are educating members of Congress, the country's teachers, leaders, lawyers, to acknowledge the reality of the preborn child. So not only do we do investigations, but we've been dedicated to creating content that will educate and go viral. So for example, we have a video series called Abortion Procedures. It shows the most common abortion procedures in a medically animated way. So think not bloody, but it is hard to watch, but it is more like a medical animation you would see in a textbook at the Mayo Clinic.
Yeah, Allison, and those are very good, too. I've seen those. I know a lot of us have seen it with Dr. Levitino, the ex-abortionist.
Yes.
They're excellent.
Yes. And we actually even mention them when we're out in front of Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Yes, wonderful. We've heard of people doing that, sidewalk advocates doing that, because women, if you really are so-called pro-choice, you should allow them to make an informed
right.
choice and know what they're doing. And we know that the studies show that they will choose life once they realize how far along their child is and what these procedures look like, it changes their mind to know and be informed. So I'm glad you're using them in that way, and we want more people to do that.
So are you ever afraid when entering abortion facilities when you do your investigations?
I mean, here's the thing. We all need to make clear. Investigative journalism has been incredibly important for society. So my favorite story is the first female investigative journalist was Nellie Bly in New York, and she went into the mental institute in New York City to prove that they were treating women terribly. And in order to get in there, guys, she had to get committed. She had to go in and pretend to be a mental patient, and she got committed. She spent 10 days, the museum here in D.C. was the one that I found out about. She spent 10 days in this facility. Her editor-in-chief comes and gets her, scoops her up. She thought she almost lost her mind because of how bad she was treated in there. She writes about what she saw, and it changed history. All of a sudden, it was the front page of the New York paper, and she got more federal funding to to actually take care of patients that were mentally ill. Isn't that amazing?
That's like, a beautiful story. That's a perfect story.
We've seen women be brave. And yes, so it does. It does take bravery for a pregnant woman to go into a Planned Parenthood facility and ask questions about their pregnancy and the procedures. Just normal questions that any woman would ask. But one thing I think I've learned, and I think it applies to my faith, though Live Action isn't a faith-based group, we know the power. When Jesus asks questions, right, you're allowing people to think and talk. And one of the most powerful tools we have in the pro-life movement is the ability to listen, to ask questions, not just of the woman in her situation, but also of the abortionist. And what these videos, the investigative videos, did is allowed the nation to hear exactly what an abortion doctor, an abortionist, is saying to a woman. We might never have had that chance to see
hear.
But we're hearing that, and these questions, as anyone that watches the videos will see, are not gotcha questions. Mm-hmm. It's when the abortionist says, this product of conception is X weeks along, and the woman says, well, what's the product of conception? What do you mean by it? What is that? You know, mm-hmm. What are you talking about? Oh, is that my baby? Oh, okay, yes. Like, asking the kind of questions that any woman wanted and showing how she's pressured into choosing abortion is powerful. So, yes, it takes a bit of bravery, right, to be in there. But bravery is a good thing, and exposing injustice is a good thing. And investigative journalism has had to have strong people willing to shine a light on abuses. You know, even 2020 does it. And other great entities to get the real story.
Well, excellent, excellent. Okay, so you guys did an undercover investigation in 2008 at the Planned Parenthood here in Bloomington. So what was being investigated in that?
Well, thank you so much, and I'm glad to be talking about this, because what was happening in Indiana, and we're afraid continues to happen, is tragic. As you guys probably know, I'll just make sure your listeners know, that just last year there were 9 abortion practitioners who were caught failing to report child sexual abuse in cases where they did abortions on these young girls. So let's take this back a step. We know that in our society, there are abuses against women. There are people that hurt children and women, right? We have known even more clearly through some of the recent movements that have been trying to expose high-level men who hurt women and sexually abuse women. You have to ask yourself this question, and I did this. You have to ask yourself this question. If there are criminals, sexual criminals out there, how are they hiding the evidence of their sexual crime? Oftentimes, if a woman becomes pregnant after abuse, she is taken to a Planned Parenthood facility, to an abortion facility, to help that criminal hide the evidence of his abuse. This is not just me saying this. Loyola University, actually the Beasley Institute on Law and Public Policy, talked to over 100 survivors of sexual abuse. These are survivors that have now left. And they asked them a plethora of questions. But one of the questions was, where did you go for medical care when you were being sex trafficked? And they self-reported, ladies, Planned Parenthood as the number one place they were taken other than the emergency room. And when asked why, one of the respondents said, quote, because they don't ask questions, quote. Now, not only is that just infuriating on a human level, it's illegal. We live in a society that has set up laws in place to make sure that those adults are looking out for victims of suspected child abuse. And these so-called healthcare entities would be one of them. You can think about this in terms of teachers, police, healthcare practitioners, doctors. They are mandated by law to report suspected child abuse. And particularly in Indiana, what's really, really relevant to this is that in Indiana, there's great laws in place to make sure that this isn't happening all the time, to make sure that if a minor comes in, a child 13 or younger, under your Indiana state law, they cannot give consent for sex. So abortionists are to report any client under 14. Mm-hmm. If you are, right, because that in and of mm-hmm. itself should be suspected child abuse. Because under Indiana state law, a child that young cannot willingly give consent for sex. So having sex with a minor at that age is a felony. Abortionists are to report any client under 14 to state authorities within 3 days so that that can be promptly investigated. Don't we live in a great country? Don't we? But we know and have suspicion that this was not happening. And so our investigations into Indiana abortion clinics showed on tape employees aiding someone posing as a 13-year-old girl, saying that she has a 31-year-old boyfriend. This would be a clear case of statutory rape, right, of child molestation, a 13-year-old child and a 31-year-old boyfriend. And what do these abortionists say on camera? They say, I didn't hear that. I don't care how old he is. Quote, we don't really care about the age of the boyfriend. It's consensual. It's your choice. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Imagine a 13-year-old is sitting in front of you. Isn't that terrible that you are the adult in the room and she is coming to you telling you this? And even though she might be confused and she thinks this 31-year-old is her boyfriend, you on a human level should have concern for that child. And number two, they know the state law. They are trained on this. They know better. Mm-hmm. But they say, don't tell us. It's your choice in order to procure that abortion, because that's what they care about. And so the good news is you have an amazing group in Indiana, Indiana Right to Life, who has taken that footage. They looked into this and just a few months ago had five news conferences talking about the complaints that they found were 48 times. They said they found 48 complaints filed against 9 Indiana abortion doctors who have allegedly failed to follow those legal reporting requirements I just talked about. That's, they're in place to protect young children from sex abuse, and their abortionists are not following it.
So do we know the status of those complaints yet?
So Kathy Humbarger probably would be able to tell us, right? I do know that one Planned Parenthood facility has closed. I don't believe they were committing abortions there, but that Planned Parenthood's willingness to cover up sexual predators should be enough for us to end taxpayer funding to the entity at the very least, if not worse, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So where are we on the fight to defund Planned Parenthood? Can you, just in general?
Yeah, absolutely. So Planned Parenthood receives over $1.5 million every day of taxpayer funds. Imagine what beautiful, redeeming work we could do with $1.5 million every day. So I like to remind people of that when they say, oh, pro-lifers, like, you know, you only care about the baby. You don't take care of them after they're born. Well, number one is not true. We are the ones that are there for these moms. And number two, I would have a lot of resources and groups set up if we had $1.5 million every day.
Oh,
yeah.
I know.
And abortion facility does.
Yeah, you know what, Allison, we're down there a lot of time. And a lot of people give us slack for being out there in front of Planned Parenthood. Quit harassing those women, you know, and all of these things. And I'm like, but it's I say that too. It's $1.5 million average every day. We have every right to be here.
Yeah.
It's our money.
Mm-hmm. And Allison, how is Live Action involved in this fight to defund Planned Parenthood?
Thank you so much. So if anyone's interested, they can go on our website, sign the petition to defund Planned Parenthood. Uh-huh. We are having meetings. I'm here in our D.C. office. We are having meetings on the Hill. We are continuing to educate the media and members of Congress on the need to defund. Thankfully, we have a pro-life president who has promised he will. We are trying to push him to deliver on that promise. He is taking small steps. We've worked to remove, we could potentially remove $60 million of that through a program called Title 10. But we really need to completely defund this entity that's failing women by doing abortions. Its other services are declining. This is their niche. So we're continuing to educate, inform, activate, and call people. The work we do specifically tell people why we need to defund them.
Yeah. So can you tell us, how is Live Action educating the lawmakers at the state and federal levels? And do you think that under President Trump, we are going to see Planned Parenthood defunded? Because you mentioned small steps.
Yeah.
Are they so small that we're not going to see anything done yet? Or are we going to see some results?
I plan to see results, and I know there's a lot of other pro-life leaders who expect the same. I mean, we should rest assured that there are meetings happening, conversations happening that are really trying to restore beauty to this conversation, that to show that we are on the side of life and love and looking out for women and children. This is the greatest human rights abuse of our time. And so we are advocating for the president to move quickly, but we can't look, guys, to any political entity, party, or action as our savior here, right? It's an element of the fight, but it is just as important that we are praying, that we are outside of these places, offering help to women, taking care of those around us, educating our families and friends on the procedure and changing their minds too. I mean, it all works together. So yes, it is one element, and we're here, we're in D.C., we're doing that education and activation level, but we're also, we know that we have to change culture. We have to change minds on this issue.
Right,
it will not end in Washington, D.C.
There you go. Yeah, it's all about love, isn't it? Yeah. Well, okay, so how about, can you just quickly tell us as one final question, what are some of the greatest successes Live Action has had since the beginnings?
Oh, such a good question. Well, I would say I'm really proud of us for growing the largest online movement. Lila started this when she was just 15 years old and then at college, and now is this beautiful 30-year-old thought leader. And if you go on her Twitter, you can see just the way people are responding, the amount of influence that she and Live Action have had to have great conversations. That, I think, in and of itself is huge. But just this year, we've had some beautiful opportunities. Lila spoke at the United Nations. Just this week, the United Nations Commission on the Status of Women on this issue of abortion. She was featured in The Atlantic as the face of the millennial anti-abortion movement. And our team is growing. We are continuing to hire some of the best talent to make this issue ended. I mean, I'm working to end a job, right? I want to be out of the job. I want to end this, and you guys do too.
Yes.
So, absolutely. That's our biggest success, is we have our eye on the ball, our mission is clear, and we're continuing to see people dedicating their lives to this too.
Okay, awesome. Great. Well, Allison and Rhonda, we're nearing the end of our time here today, and as always, the time passes way too quickly. Allison, we do want to sincerely thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today, and to especially thank you for all you are doing to uncover the truth about abortion.
Thank you, guys, and thank you for what you're doing, and I'd be happy to join anytime.
Thank you. Well, we'll keep all of you and your work done there at Live Action in our prayers as we battle the culture of death to restore a culture of life. Rhonda, what's our action item for the week?
If you've not already signed up for an hour of prayer at the local Planned Parenthood, then our action item for this upcoming week is to sign up for an hour of prayer in these final days of the 40 Days for Life campaign, which ends on Palm Sunday. You can sign up at 40daysforlife.com/Bloomington. Thank you for being with us today on Pro Life to the Max. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with the desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Ave Maria.